Let's say your small business has a problem. Like maybe one of your doggy daycare customers had an accident. You might say something like,
doggone it!
Hi, Chihuahua!
Holy schnauzers!
But if you need someone who can actually help, just say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And get help filing a claim from your local State Farm agent. For your small business insurance needs, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey, it's State of State. We got your Nittany line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by BetOnline. The college football playoff has concluded, but the NFL playoffs are about to begin. Plus, the NBA, the NHL, combat sports, and more are in full swing. BetOnline has all the up-to-the-second odds, news, and info. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. State of State is presented by BetOnline, where the game starts. Also, State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Joining us this week on State of State, he is a man that frankly needs no introduction. He is Penn State legendary linebacker Brandon Short, also currently a member of the Penn State Board of Trustees. Brandon, it is an honor and a privilege to get a chance to speak with you. I got to start off because we're just a few days now from the national championship game, Michigan and Washington. I think we as Penn State fans are like, hard to root for Michigan, but still really positive for the Big Ten. And certainly puts the Penn State Michigan game into perspective now that we saw how it all played out.
Yeah, it does. As a Penn Stater, it's hard for me to root for Michigan. In my heart of hearts, it's difficult, but understanding the big picture and like what it means for the conference, Michigan, winning the national title, and then with Washington, joining the Big Ten next year and actually traveling to Happy Valley, it's a significant boost and win for the Big Ten and, indirectly Penn State.
And this has been an interesting week in that, I do want to get to your reelection campaign for the Penn State Board of Trustees, but it's been on social media the last few days, and you were very kind on social media to acknowledge it. Paul Posluszny is going into the College Football Hall of Fame, fellow linebacker, an absolute legend of the program. I've gotten to speak to Paul. I know that Justin knows him very, very intimately. When you heard the news, what was it like? Have you had a chance to speak to Puz since the news broke?
I haven't had a chance to speak with him since it broke, but my heart overflowed with joy. Like, Puz is one of the best linebackers to ever play this game. And it's awesome that he's finally getting the acknowledgement that he deserves. He's won the McNerick twice, won the Butkus Award, was in the league for like 50 years. He'd probably still be playing too. You know, I'm super excited. I mean, it's such for him personally, for the university, and just to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. Justin, you understand, just a part of this fraternity to see one of our brothers go in and get that type of acknowledgement. It's like we've all been acknowledged, especially like for me personally, with a linebacker at Linebacker U.
Oh, man, I have to jump in real quick because I think it's a double fraternity. We got the Penn State fraternity and the Western PA fraternity. That's another part of it where it's like, you know, the Western PA Pittsburgh guys, but like, Puz is definitely one of a fan favorite, and he's more probably the only NFL player that had another guy cry when he's retiring because he had that much of an impact as a teammate and set an example without ever compromising any type of work along the way. So much respect. One of my favorite players.
Brandon, one of the reasons that you're joining us today is because we're trying to get the word out about your reelection campaign. For those that don't know, the Penn State Board of Trustees election process is beginning soon. Nominations for the annual election process by Penn State alumni begins on January 15th. Alumni are going to receive an email to their email address on file at Penn State or have the opportunity to access the nomination ballot at PennStateVotes.com beginning January 15th. The nomination phase continues until 5 p.m. Eastern, February 25th, and then the election process begins April 10th, and that will conclude on May 2nd, 2024. PennStateVotes.com is very important, but Brandon, you have served admirably as a Board of Trustees member. What has this reelection process brought to mind for you? What are you focusing on?
Well, like first of all, being on the board is such a tremendous responsibility, and you know, short of being a husband and a father, it's the most rewarding thing that I do. Like, we see the effect that we have on people's lives, like providing an education, providing upward mobility, and seeing how it affects so many people. And even beyond that, you know, like Penn State, we're one of the largest research institutions in the world. So we work with NASA. We have a new polymer called Lion Glass that will probably replace all glass on iPhones. You know, we're like working with curing cancer. There's so many large strategic issues that we deal with. It's just an amazing and huge responsibility that I'm humbled to be a part of. My key focus is, you know, going forward is, you know, affordability. You know, Penn State, it's way too expensive to attend Penn State. You know, we're the second most expensive public school in the country, like right after University of Pittsburgh, which is related to the state funding. Our school ranking, I want to work on improving that. Improving the increasing the size of the endowment, and then supporting athletics, you know, honoring the past and you know, supporting the future.
For more information on Brandon's campaign, go to BeShort4, that's the number 4, PSU.net. Justin, as an outsider's perspective, you know, when most people hear it's like, oh, the Board of Trustees, stuff to put into perspective. But from your perspective, how valuable is it having someone like Brandon Short on the Board of Trustees at Penn State?
It's extremely valuable when you understand the full structure of college sports or just the college business in general. Like, decisions are made at different tiers of the university. And obviously we talk about like the president, the Board of Trustees, like they're making decisions that come down to the athletic director that then get ventured down into the operations of the football teams, the support and how the messaging of the university comes out. And if I'm wrong about anything, be sure, please stop me. But it's extremely important to have someone that understands the full spectrum or the full funnel of operation that's making calls at the top as well. So it's extremely beneficial for someone like Be Short, who has playing experience and business experience, to be on the Board of Trustees.
Brandon, it was around springtime last year that you spoke out during that election process, hoping to see some progress and some change within Penn State University, and a huge topic that's come up. And I think it's often looked at as a dirty word is, NIL, name, image, and likeness. And There's Penn State fans who are not necessarily thrilled to have to dish out more money in that respect. But then you hear the way James Franklin talks about competing and staying up to date. And that's not just the football team. That is every sport at Penn State trying to compete in the modern era of athletics. As you see it now, what change is necessary and how can you as a member of the board make that change possible?
Well, initially, you know, the Penske community, as you mentioned, were, you know, apprehensive of, you know, NIL. It feels like pay to play. And, you know, that's just not in Penn State's DNA. But the reality is that over the past few years, there has been significant, you know, no change. Happy Valley United has come on. And although we were a little bit slow getting out of the blocks, you know, they've started to build a real infrastructure and the community has started to embrace it. It's just another level of where we need to be competitive. You know, we gotta, if we want to win and we want to be successful, we have to be able to adapt and we have to be forward thinking. And while some of these things don't necessarily sit right, and you know, the reality is this is the way that the system is today. There's no question with NIL, transfer portal, all the things that we're seeing right now, that it won't be this in the same form in 2 to 3 years, you know, going forward. But we have to be nimble as a community and be able to be at the forefront, you know, as it evolves. And I think that we're doing that, you know, and in terms of the board, there is a bifurcation between the university and the NIL collectives. So the NIL collectives work independently of the universe of the board. But as a board member, you know, I can't donate to the NIL collective. I can't be directly involved, but I can support it, champion it, encourage others to contribute, and you know, frankly, not just make a donation, you know, receive, you know, return on investment. You have, you know, Drew Allar and Nick Singleton, having these guys, these big names, you know, represent your company, you know, that you can see more business and more return relative to that investment, no different than making advertising dollars.
Thinking about your possibilities when you were a player, you know, you just mentioned what Drew Allar and Nick Singleton have at their fingertips. That's just to name a few Penn State football players right now. You know, Abdul Carter is also doing very well in that department. But thinking back on your playing days, how could NIL have improved your life? Because I think there's some people in modern day, you know, Penn State athletics and in the modern Penn State community that are hung up on the ways of old, and it's like, hey, this is the way things are now, and this is bettering the lives of these young men.
But when I came to Penn State, you know, I came from a housing project, you know, in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, you know, and you know, I had no money, and you know, all I had was able to eat like via the scholarship dollars. So I would go to the game, and they sold 43 jerseys, and just to, so say, call it. Literally 10,043 jerseys, you know, being sold. But after a game, you know, I couldn't afford to take my girlfriend to dinner. She would have to take me to dinner because I had no money. And you know, that's not fair. That's not fair to the players. You know, it's not even fair, you know, to the university. So you know, as much as people are apprehensive, you know, I'm encouraged that players are able to receive some sort of compensation, because for me, you know, that would, you know, would have been life changing, life altering.
I think you made a great point on the NIL, you and Tom, just from the standpoint of messaging and for the fans to understand where it fits. Because I mean, I heard what you said, be sure not rooting for Michigan, but if you look across the sports landscape, I mean, I deal with a lot of players in high school, transfer portal, just different guys. So I've talked to different collectives at other schools and understanding how they operate, if their pockets are loose, if they're willing to go after players. And I always looked at Michigan as a comparable way that they approach NIL. They've just recently kind of ramped up NIL donations to retain players based on winning, right? Like they got to the point where I think there's a mixture of where their fan base was, they had a couple of people that would donate big dollars, but their fan base was typically against it. And actually they aligned with the head coach, like from the standpoint of what he was preaching to the players of like, hey, you're coming here to be a Michigan man. And if something happens, you got to stay there, to the point where the players were preaching that, like, don't come in here asking for NIL. And Blake Corum, I think, said it earlier this season, and they go on to win the national championship. And now they put out this big fund to raise money. I think they raised like $8 million, but to retain players, because now it's like proved it to the fan base. And it's a little bit different of like, hey, we need to get these guys, pay high school players versus retaining players that have proved the to be Michigan men. I think, how do you feel Penn State's messaging is on NIL to the community and their understanding of the actual benefits that it provides?
Well, it's clearly, you know, to great point on Michigan. You know, Michigan won a national championship this year, obviously. And, you know, this, I just looked at an article before we came on here about Michigan and that retention. It was in September, saying how the NIL made a good program great. And here we're looking at the end of the season with them winning a national title. They retained Blake Corum. They retained two offensive linemen, which is their bread and butter. And now they're sitting in the national title. And to your point about communications, look, we got to do a better job. So if people aren't understanding and we're still 3 years in or 4 years in and people aren't still getting it, then we need to adapt and do a better job of communicating it to our fan base and helping them see and feel the benefits. You know, this is all new to us. We're learning. This is an iterative process. It's the Wild West. You know, quite frankly, I'm speaking for myself and not for Penn State's board, to be clear, but there will eventually be some guardrails around this, because you just can't have no rules around players getting money. But, you know, we need to do a better job of communicating, which, you know, I hopefully this is a part of that. And others are out there, you know, doing the same thing, communicating to our public that, you know, we're still quality kids like we had under Joe Paterno, great, great character people, you know, that will give back to the community, that you know, say, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, but, you know, it's a different world. You know, it's the same character, quality of kids, but it's a different environment. And I would be no different. Or, you know, Justin, you would be no different. Puzz would be no different if we were in that situation today.
I completely agree. And I think that one thing that we, like, just in terms of NIL, that kind of the whole country missed the boat on, is that it's a career development opportunity. Like, all these different avenues of dealing with companies, like, the business is not a facetious thing. We're like, hey, you're in the business. No, like, the business is at the forefront. So, like, the whole thing has always been, hey, approach, I mean, at least the Penn State ecosystem, to approach it as a transformational opportunity for the players, where they can get career development opportunities, whether it's building siloed brands or different areas around their interests and getting, like, I guess, a flow going that way and just selling the transformation more so than the transaction. Because I think it gets, when you're in a reactive space and you're trying to catch up, it does become like a transactional thing. Like, hey, we need to get this money in to get these guys here. And, like, where people have already shown at Penn State to support is that they support the transformation of us coming in as Western PA guys and leaving, and you going into the finance world, me working in football and all those different things. And now we can expedite that with different opportunities, whether it's for them to build their, again, I'm saying build their brand, but just different career development opportunities and where money is involved, because it can get really, I guess you can get really creative on how you distribute funds and benefit the players. Because I think the benefit for me, like, and my friends that I speak to at Penn State, like, came in one way and we left a different way based on the transformation and the opportunities that we were given. Now just putting lighter fluid on what has worked and what has attracted the student athlete to Penn State in the NIL era, just keep it in that transformational bucket and, like, different components. I think that is a message that fans get behind because, yes, I mean, we all approached it like a business versus leaving Penn State and seeing how other schools approached it. But, I mean, we're not far off of how to capitalize on NIL, I think, from just the Penn State ecosystem in general.
Yeah, we're my two cents on that. We're super close. It's a great point, man, Dan. On, we're super close in terms of our ecosystem. Again, Happy Valley United, you know, is gaining steam. And you know, to your point, you know, the separate from NIL collectives, you know, part of the investment that we made in the last building was to the fifth quarter, to like helping players with their entrepreneurship skills, career development skills, you know, at, as you mentioned, to sort of augment what they're seeing in the NIL space. So Penn State is still doing things in the Penn State way, but, you know, adapting to this new environment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Lunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Absolutely.
Brandon, we are, of course, all things Penn State football, and it feels like since the fateful Michigan game, it has just been a roller coaster, and this news cycle with the team is crazy. There's a lot of positive and there's a lot of change. There's a lot of things happening. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz off to Duke, transfer portal, national signing day. I mean, I don't know how James Franklin and his staff have kept up with this stuff. What's your macro perspective on the state of the program right now?
I think the program is moving in the right direction. You know, like we were heartbroken about our losses. You know, we were 10-2, you know, during the season when we were at full strength. You know, we lost to the national champion and a team that didn't lose to anyone else other than the national champion that just happened to be in our conference. And that's the reality. And when I think about like the program as a whole, you know, I played at Penn State in the late 90s, and we were the number one team in the country for 3 years going into preseason when I played at Penn State. I played in one New Year's Six bowl game. You know, we won the Fiesta Bowl versus Texas. I played in one. I've been to four in the past 6 years. Just to, like, so if you want to compare apples to apples about where we were and where we are, that's just, you know, where that's just the data. However, we need to take that next step. And, you know, we need to offer, you know, our program the support that's commensurate with the expectations. So Michigan athletics, the overall athletic budget in the past 5 years have outspent Penn State by $124 million. That's overall athletic budget. Now, and in last year specifically, Ohio State football outspent Penn State by $11.5 million. So we're expected to go out and beat a team that has an operating budget that's $12 million more than ours. So, I mean,
piggyback into that. No, 100%. But it's like when you say the numbers, I love the fact that you brought that up. But I'm going to kind of break it down a little bit for the layman fan to understand what like that operational advantage means. So like when coaches are going out to recruit across the country and have to fly out of state college, you have to catch a flight out of state college that can get canceled any moment to get all across the country to identify players. When you have this type of institutional alignment, there are other schools that we're competing against. Their assistant coaches are using private planes all the time. So they're jumping on planes, going here, doing these different type of things. You have more staff that are working for lower wages or better wages, right? So you're getting better support staff. So if you ever look at just how football operations really come together, there are talented people within there. And then there's just hands on deck to take the load off of the coaches, whether it's Alabama that has three coaches to one position versus some schools have one. Like these are competitive advantages where you just throw out money and dollars. Like, yeah, they're spending more money, but like it really comes down to the impact that we see on the field. How much can you because I think even when you offer the player, we've been talking about where the money goes and like the discrepancy of the player. I think the player and identification comes down to asset valuation and allocation from the internal team makeup. Yes, you need enough money to get the players that you need, but every great player is not going to play at Penn State and actually won't make it at Penn State, to be completely honest. It's same for USC. So it's like identifying the talent that works there and have the infrastructure to build within our ecosystem. And so with that being said, it's just like an open door to continue to move through at this point. I mean, it's a very opportunistic time.
So Justin, to your point, I just wanted to come back to that gap. The gap is currently closing. You know, like President Bendapudi and Pat Kraft it's been like night and day. So while we haven't had the success that we've wanted, you know, over the long term, because we want to be the national champions. We've been more successful than we've been since the 80s, but we haven't been the national champion. Like, President Bendapudi and Pat Kraft, there is that alignment now, but we've only had that for 18 months to 24 months.
And sometimes I think people just think like, oh, they're getting more money, so they're just spending or paying players. I think people in college football think like more money just means paying players. It's not. It means a smoother operation. It means having staff members that can evaluate the transfer portal, and you're paying them a healthy salary to evaluate the transfer portal. So you're targeting the right people that fit within your culture. So when it opens, you're not spending, you're not being reactive and spending all your money on a player that's not any good. So you're doing all the research up front, and then you're making a value proposition on a pick. So there's ways to spend money within the program to have the outputs that you need. It's just a matter of us understanding where the money to flow, because at the end of the day, you still need the capital to come in. But for sure.
And another key point is that, like, Penn State, at least the last the data I received is one. What Penn State is, I don't know if they're, but I believe there's 12 other institutions that have self-funding athletic departments, meaning that all the everything in the athletic department is funded by athletics. So no tuition, no student service dollars, no salary dollars are used to fund operations of athletics. And the reality is, like, football is the main profit driver, but it funds 850 other student athletes and provides them with those opportunities to create the Penn State experience.
The thing that's difficult for me, Brandon, and I think difficult for a lot of Penn State fans, is to comprehend the fact that there are potentially people on the Penn State Board of Trustees now and people that might look to run to be a part of the Penn State Board of Trustees that are not aligned with that mission of progress and that are looking more towards the past, going to the old ways of thinking. And that should worry people. I know it worries me.
Yeah, I get it. Like, we're all change averse, and you know, we had the greatest coach of all time, and it was Camelot. You know, like, we had the highest graduation rate of any school, top 25 school, with the winningest coach of all time. But if, you know, Coach Paterno was here, he would have adopted, or he would be left behind the same. So why Coach Paterno was so successful through the years is because, you know, he did adapt. When I came to Penn State, Haluba Hall was the first indoor practice facility for any team in the country. The Nittany Apartments were the top dorms for any team in the country. Lash Building was the first all football building in the country. At that time, we were the number one team, and we had the top recruiting classes in the country. So it's a fallacy that, you know, we never, you know, spent or we didn't invest. You know, towards the end, you know, of Coach Paterno's career, we may not have, but that was for political reasons that there's no reason to dive into right now.
And he's right about Joe being able to adapt, because like he got there, something was new, but when I got there in 05, like, me and Derek were the first freshmen that were able to speak to the media, and he understood building our brands to promote to the other five stars. Like, look, we're playing freshmen and we're not treating them any differently. And that really happened, because the next year you got a class with Jared Aldrich, you got Navarro Bowman, Aaron Maben, AJ Wallace. I mean, there's Evan Royster. Like, that night class really set up Penn State for success. I mean, all the way up until Joe's last days. But really, it was that first year where he really promoted me and Derek, which was against the grain, because we got some flack from the older offensive linemen. I'm like, wait, what are they doing? Like, the way that they're putting them out there in the media. But he really wrapped his mind around that. I was like, hey, we're going to promote these guys and use it as a recruiting tool for the next cycle. So, like, it lines perfectly. Like, if this was NIL, trust, it would be – he would have adjusted to that as well. So,
if we're going to take a minute to give, like, just go back and talk about history – look, Justin, we're standing on your shoulders. You know, we were going through a very difficult time, you know, in Penn State's history. You know, we had losing records. They were trying to get rid of Joe. You and Derek, you guys came in and you turned it around. And everything that we're doing now, or these guys are doing forward, you're standing on what you did, man. Much love, brother, for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was big time. Thank you.
Brandon, I do want to get a couple thoughts from you here quickly just on the current team. Penn State has been more aggressive, it feels, in the transfer portal, at least in terms of reaching out to more people, reaching out to more positions of need, notably getting wide receiver Julian Fleming and offensive lineman Nolan Rucci. What did you feel about getting Fleming and Rucci?
I mean, super excited. I mean, those were two key needs, you know, for the program. Julian Fleming was going to come to Penn State. No, originally thought it was. I think his girlfriend went to Penn State. It was almost signed, sealed, and delivered. And you know, he ended up going to Ohio State. But just the welcoming him home, you know, he'll be a key part of the offense next year. And Nolan Rucci is a legacy. You know, like the Rucci family has deep Penn State roots. He was one of the top recruits, I think the top recruit in the state that year. So it's great to see, you know, both of those guys, you know, come home. And you know, I'm excited about next year. You know, I'm excited. Looks like Keandre's coming back. You know, Trey Wallace, you know, is healthy, could be one of the top receivers in the country as well. Drew with Andy Kolonicki. Hope I'm not like butchering the guy's name.
Don't worry, Justin's been butchering it for weeks.
I just say Andy. What's up, Andy?
Coach K coming in. His hallmark is he adapts his offense to a personnel, and that's just the definition of great coaching. I get that the Penn State community is a little skeptical. Like, we lost Manny Diaz and we were the number one defense in the country. So it feels like there's only one way to go. But, you know, Tom Allen, you know, I met him and I had a chance to speak with him down at the Peach Bowl, and I was super impressed. And like, I was impressed with him, his mentality, the way that he, you know, approached coaching. But I'm more impressed with, you know, his players and how they love him and support him. You know, Michael Penix, you know, spoke about Tom Allen at the national championship press conference. And, you know, in coaching, like, it's about putting them in the right position and making them believe. He clearly can make them believe, and we'll see if he can put us in the right position.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you specifically about the linebackers. Curtis Jacobs is off to the NFL, but you've got Abdul Carter, who had a great freshman year. I think there's still people that want to see him do even more after his sophomore campaign. Kobe King has really developed into his own. What do you think about the guy currently wearing number 11 and 41?
Oh man, this is it. They're the next, you know, generation of linebacker. I mean, number 11, the sky's the limit. They just don't give that number to anyone. They bequeath it to the person that they think has that ability, and he has all that and then some. And in Kobe King, one of the things that I liked, you know, he just recently came out and said he's going to be a leader on this team. And when I spoke with Coach Allen, he said that the linebackers must be the leaders on the team. And I love seeing a middle linebacker step up. But I mean, they're deep. They got Dom DeLuca in that position. That he was the highest graded linebacker, you know, in the country. You know, Tyler Ellison is coming back. I mean, we just got a lot of really good players there. You know, Tony Rojas that could very easily take over that 11 moniker, you know, at any moment. Wiley, I mean, dude, we're deep at that linebacker position. We're deep at O-line and we're deep at DB. You know, I'm confident and excited about the future, you know, of Penn State.
I figured you'd say something about Tyler Elsden, another 43. You're just biased at this point. Yeah. Now we've had Tyler on the show. He's wonderful.
Yeah, I do have a bit of a bias towards Tyler, but he's the man either way.
He's a great, great guy. Again, yeah. For those of you interested, go to bshort4psu.net to learn about Brandon Short's reelection campaign. And again, the election process for nominees begins as of January 15th. That runs through February 25th. And then the election itself begins April 10th. And that'll run through May 2nd. Go to PennStateVotes.com for more information on that. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have one last message for people that should be considering reelecting you in a few months?
Just that I love Penn State. You know, Penn State changed my life. And, you know, it's the biggest honor that I've ever had representing Penn State. And I'm just asking for an opportunity to continue representing you and leading Penn State into the future. We are.
Penn State. Absolutely. Brandon, thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle at State of State Pod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.